I love the Bible. I have loved the Bible all of my life. I love it more for having gone through the academic study of it. But I will confess that, like many others, the academic study of sacred things can lead to a very dangerous place. And a part of that danger is thinking you know more than you do, and thinking that you have discovered some new truth that you haven't. And so I find that as I have now gotten years away from academic life and have been teaching and speaking and writing and about God and about the Bible and about truth, I've come back to a more simple place. I am no longer hungry for the deep truths of God, but a more simple understanding of the simple things of God. For example, one of my favorite verses in the Bible is, are you ready? You're going to think it's not in the Bible. It is. A live dog is better than a dead lion. In the book. Don't tell me God does not have a sense of humor. I mean, that's stand-up material, isn't it? There was a dog. He was alive. There was a lion. He was dead. I mean, have you ever thought about it? That when you wake up every day alive, you're better off than Churchill. You're better off than Elvis. You're cooler than Elvis. Have you ever been to Graceland? Hello? I'm just saying. That leopard thing must have been good in 1970, but it's a little dated. You know what I'm saying? Every day we get up is a gift. That's why we call it the present, right? We are in the present. The one thing that I see and I want to talk about in this series as we go through this journey is that one of the greatest enemies in modern day life to the simple joys and truths of living is hurry. I really believe there is nothing that hurry does not damage. Hurry makes smart people stupid. Hurry will not get you there any faster. Trust me, it won't. We think it does, but it doesn't. So on this journey, my goal is to help us. Most of us in this room we would consider ourselves people of faith. I am a follower of Jesus Christ. I hesitate to call myself a Christian because for some people that is a political statement. It's a moral position. It's neither for me. It is a reality. I have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, and the more I know about it, the more mystery it is, and the more sacred and important to me it becomes. Just because I say Jesus Christ is the answer, I'm not saying that all the answers are available to me, and that I fully understand some of the answers that I know I have. But one of the things I'm absolutely positive of is that this is the day the Lord has made. It is God's intention that we be glad and rejoice in it. I'm absolutely confident of that. Whatever else I build on that and go from that, that has to be the starting place. Because here's the deal. You can never not be here. I mean, as your kids, when our kids were little, we go on a trip, they would say, Daddy, are we there yet? And I would love to terrorize. That's one of the reasons I love having kids, you know, is you can never be there. You can only be here. But I know a lot of people whose lives are testimonies of trying to prove that simple truth wrong. Now, you can really be there. No, you cannot. Well, yes, you can. Some of you are not here. Your body's here. But your brain somewhere, you know, into the future. I shouldn't have said football. Now you're thinking about your fantasy team. I mean, you're like my dog, Cooper. If she ever breaks eye contact, you've lost her. She's gone. Bug, 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 Cooper. What? Food, where? I mean, just, you know, wham. You get whiplash the way you change directions. So what I want to do in this journey is talk about the importance of enjoying the journey. The striving is more important than the arriving. Amen? I don't know what heaven's going to be like. I know it's going to be amazing. I know there's going to be football. There's going to be chocolate, and there are going to be motorcycles. Everything else, I'm good with, you know? Right? So, this is the day. Say it with me. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, here is the problem with that. A little thing I call the in-between. To live here, to live in the moment, is not the same thing as saying I'm living for the moment. I was heartbroken this week when I found out one of my heroes in life, long-term heroes in life, Rick Pitino, was exposed for adultery. I have to tell you, that is just so... And when I was a young Christian and I would hear stuff like that, I'd say, God, get him. Oh, yeah. I'm ashamed to admit it. Now that I hear stuff like that, I say, oh, God, help me. But for the grace of God, there go I. Amen. Before I sit in the seat of judgment. But here's what I'm absolutely convinced about what goes on in those moments. I told Paul, I said, you know, this is almost feels demonic. But when you live for the moment, you live a subhuman life. It's just for the moment. I'm just here for the party. Really? Is that it? But you have to live in the moment. So I want you to start thinking very differently about living for the moment. You didn't interpret that how you want to. I want to live in the moment for the future. See, living in the moment means that there's a past that informs the moment and a future to look forward to. Something better ahead. But acknowledging that is also acknowledging that I live in the in-between time. For example, I live in between the being and the becoming. I am who I am. I am not what I was, thank God Almighty. But I'm not yet what I'm going to be. I'm living in the gap, in the in-between. And that in-between creates a gap. And here's what we do. Here's who I am. Here's who I want to be. And what we think is that I can just hurry. There's a scheme. There's a thing that will get me there faster. For example, let's just say today that you have decided I'm carrying around 20 pounds that I don't need. I'm going to lose 20 pounds. All right? Just saying that doesn't make you 20 pounds lighter, does it? Thinking about it, pondering it, considering it, clicking on the internet today doesn't do a thing for you unless you get a plan. Are you with me? Now, you can try to hurry that weight loss. You can fast. What are you doing? I'm fasting. What for? I'm losing 20 pounds, and I want it off now. You know, that's not healthy, is it? I don't want to eat anything. I'm not going to drink anything. I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to drink water and, you know, look at salt. Or if you don't want to do that, you can get a gut buster or butt guster or whatever that is, you know. Have you seen these things? Have you seen that? There's a new one I just saw the other day. You put it in your seat. Have you seen this one? And you sit on it. And sitting on it 6 hours is like working out 5 days a week, 30 minutes on a treadmill. Life on the pit of hell. But we believe it. Because it promises to get me there faster. Here's a problem, and some of us have done this. It's just say you lose 20 pounds in an inordinate, or a rapid period of time. You're going to almost assuredly... Thank you, Jesus. I make my point, right? So you might as well learn to honor the process and realize that if I will live, I will show up every day and live in the moment, not for the moment, in the moment, with a view of the future, informed by my past habits of eating late at night, changing those, amen? So that I'm balanced. Then in the in-between, I can enjoy the fact that guess what today? I lost a half a pound today. Yeah, man, I can celebrate that. And a half a pound today and tomorrow and the next day, eventually I get to my goal. And I look back over the journey and say, you know, I'm 20 pounds weight. And I start a brand new journey. What's that? keeping it all. Thank you very much. So the journey continues between the being and the becoming. From a spiritual perspective, listen to what the scriptures tell us. Therefore, my dear friends, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but so much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with what? Fear and trembling. One of the most dangerous things I think those of us who are Christians do is talk about God in such familiar terms, and nothing wrong with that, that other people assume we know more about him than we do. I know more about God than I did, but the more I know about God, the less I know. The more I have to embrace mystery. The mystery of God, the majesty of God, the expanse, the enormity of his truth, the enormity of the future that he has planned for us. It's beyond anything. I'm constantly still. I've been a professional Christian all of my adult life. And I still feel like I'm just a child. I feel like a learner. I feel like I'm just getting out of the blocks. This is an amazing life that God has given us. And so what we're doing is we're constantly working it, fleshing it out. And listen, to those of you who are skeptics, when you say, you know what, I'm not a Christian because of a bunch of Christians, I would just say this all the love in my heart. That's stupid. I'd just be like saying, I ain't going to eat none of that food because all those people don't eat it the way mama did. Whatever. When you get hungry, you're going to eat, right? So, in the gap of that being and becoming, you need to learn to be present in the moment. I'll tell you in just a second what we're going to do while we're present. Here's the second in-between life, and that's the hoping and the having. The hoping and the having. What we want to do is we want to press that gap really, really tight. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. That's the truth. I'll never forget my first day as a freshman in college. I mean, you think that you're 18 years old, you have been to school all of your life, and you're going to four more years of high school? They just call it college? And you got to show up on your own? And then you have to do your homework on your own? You have to wash your clothes? You live away from home? You get homesick? You're a freshman, and you're around a bunch of people you don't know in a strange place with fungus. I mean, graduation looks a long way off, doesn't it? I mean, you're sitting there, this semester, next semester, and then there's summer, and then there's the summer, and then if I transfer, then I'm going to lose my credits, and that's another half a semester. There's a hoping, and then there's one day when you walk across that platform. Amen? Woo! Praise Jesus! They hand you that little piece of paper, and you walk out of there on top of the world. Why? Because you're going to get a big paying job? No. Ain't nobody going to hire you. Except McDonald's. Have you ever been around people get a college education and think they're going to immediately step into a six-figure job, a corner office, and a company car? You know what they call these people? Drug-infested people. They're smoking something, you know. Truth of the matter is, getting an education is a hoping and a having, right? It's a hoping to one day, to have it one day, and to say, man, that was worth the sacrifice. Now look, but I remember when we went to graduate school in a seminary, 10 long years. Is this worth it? Yeah. At this point in my life, looking back, saying, you know what? The hoping and the having, it was sweet. And there are a lot of hoping and havings in our lives. And so in the gap between the hoping to get a degree or hoping to get a job or hoping to start a country or hoping to find someone who will say yes. The hoping and the having, that's the gap. That's where we're living. And you should not try to use hurry to compress that journey. Are you listening to me? The journey between being and becoming as a human being is a sacred journey, cannot be shortchanged by hurry. You are not a refrigerator with a broken part. You're a person, and God treats you that way. There's also the gap that's created between the trying and the coming true. The trying of a thing and it happening. Here is one thing Jesus said I have never appreciated. Ask and it will be. Have you ever asked and absolutely nothing good happened? Thanks a lot, Jesus. That's exactly what I asked for. Then he says, seek and you will. Really? I wish I had a dollar for every person in my life who's ever said, what's the will of God for me? I can't find it. And then he says, knock and the door will be open. Jesus? Really? Did I miss something? I know Greek. I know enough about what this says in the Greek to be even more depressed. Not really. Because you know what Jesus really was saying? He says, ask and keep on asking and don't stop asking. Really? Yeah. Have you ever had a four-year-old? Ever been to Walmart with a four-year-old? Mama, can I have? Mama, can I have? Daddy, can I have? Daddy, can I have? Oh, my gosh. I mean, they can do that, what? For hours. I mean, it could be 5 minutes and seem like hours, can it? And what do? You relent. You give up. Oh, here it is. Gee whiz, shut up. I mean, you don't say that because you're a Christian, but you're thinking it. And this is exactly the mode. And listen to what Jesus promised. For everyone who asks and keep on asking, and he who seeks and keeps on seeking, and the one who just keeps on knocking, the person who simply will not be denied. This is the picture of someone who is alive and excited and engaged and hopeful and leaning forward and just won't be denied. It's like my dog. I mean, dogs are great, but one of the great thing about dogs is that all, when it comes to food, all dogs are the same breed. Hungry. Right? And the tail wags and they're right? That's why you love dogs, because they're so, that's why, a cat. Oh, really? Seriously? You walk in, a cat says, I'm still thinking about whether or not I will acknowledge the fact that you exist. Dogs have owners. Cats have staff. Now you say, you don't know what I'm talking about. You're right, I don't. I've never had a cat. But I've had a dog. And one thing I love about having a dog is they're so happy to see you. They're happy that you're there. They just giving you all, you say they licking you, they're really kissing you, giving you good old kisses. When you feed them, you're the greatest thing in the whole world. And this is the picture Jesus is painting of a man or a woman, a child of God, a son of God, a daughter of God, who is so alive, enthusiastic, leaning in, just loving life constantly every day, saying, this is the day the Lord has made. I will be glad. I will rejoice. This is the day the Lord has made. I will be glad. And, listen, living it every single day, asking God for what you want, knocking, seeking, and you'll find. You just keep on doing it constantly. You don't give up. You're living in the moment. Are you with me? Instead of just being cynical and satisfied and life is hard and life is tough. It is. Life is hard. Life is very difficult. Life is very hard. And Jesus said it would be, didn't he? He said, in this world, you will have trouble, but you do yourself no service, You don't do yourself any good by denying how hard it can get in the moment. And so what we do is when life is really hard in the moment, we try to escape the moment, right? And we go to drugs, we go to alcohol, we go to diversions. We try to simply say, if I will ignore this, it will go away. It will not go away. It will stay. It will become more agitated and fill up more of your life as it would if you hadn't stayed and focused and lived in the moment. Not for the moment, but in the moment. Are you with me? Give me an example. A good friend of mine. Someone I have deep admiration for. His name is Steve Berger. Steve is a church planter, moved to the Nashville area many years ago. I think a little bit after Paul and I moved here, and I started a church called Grace Chapel. Steve is just one of the real good guys, has been for a very long time. Steve preached in his church down in Leafers Fork last Sunday. Monday, his beautiful young teenage son, Josiah, was in a car accident, wasn't hurt anywhere except head trauma. We were all called to prayer. We went down to Leafers Fork, Paul and I did Wednesday night, and had prayed with him and prayed God would heal him and raise him up. And Josiah died Friday. And so from a Sunday to a Sunday, a godly man loses his son. That's a hard place. And when that happens, you are in a brand new world. That moment has created for you a new reality that would define, and or maybe not define, but at least shape the rest of your life. Okay, can we at least agree with that? And so I say that, first of all, because I want you to know. Second of all, because I want you to pray for Steve and his wife and his family. But they will be fine. But that is a hard, 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 hard reality to wake up to. Just like cancer is. Just like the loss of a career. Just like any reverse that can happen. But listen, nothing is served when life gets hard in a moment by escaping it to some other place. Is it? Nothing is served by that. No one is helped by that. You are not better for that. It is a reality. Now, we can say all day long, Josiah is in heaven. I believe that he is. But you know, right now, that doesn't give me a lot of comfort. It's just like if one of my daughters died. You come to me and say, well, she's in a better place. I might smack you. I might smack you with the love of Jesus, but I probably would. You know, do you understand what I'm saying? It's not that we don't have, but we're living in that gap between the hoping and the having. Between the being and the becoming and the trying and the coming true. We've got to live here when life is really good and when life is really hard. How do we do it? I'm glad you asked. The first thing we've got to do to live in the present is we've got to live with a different kind of perspective. We have to get perspective. Have you ever noticed that you can get so close to a situation that you lose all your perspective whatsoever? That you can't see almost anything good? Sometimes you have to back away for a door for it to open. And hurry, what does hurry do? Hurry says, hit that door, hit that door, hit that door. Try, 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 try. God says, you know what? This is the day the Lord has made. What am I supposed to do, Lord? You're supposed to be glad. You're supposed to rejoice because God is still God. The circumstances may change, but the circumstances do not change who God is and who He has promised to be to each one of us. So here's the perspective for living in the now, for being fully present. Who of you would say, today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that place, spend a year there, carry on business, and we're going to make money? Why? You don't even know what tomorrow holds. What's going to happen tomorrow? I don't know. What's your life? It's like a mist. It appears for a little while, then it vanishes. Anyone then knows the good that he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. Here's the point. James is saying, here's the reality. Your life could be over in the next 30 minutes. 30 days. If I live, my mother's birthday was this last week. She'd live, she'd been 87. And so if I live, you know, I've got about 33 more years to go. Man, that's a long time. 33 years. Paula's been married to me 37 years. You think she can make it 33 more? She's a great woman, but I'm not even sure, you know, she got enough patience for that. I mean, that's the truth, isn't it? I mean, some of you are going to live to be 100. Literally, you will live to be 100 years old. Some of our children are going to be married 75 years. I mean, they're going to live a long time. I mean, isn't it amazing? Life can be so durable and yet so fragile. It can be over not in 30 years, but 30 days. I mean, who's to know this week? I won't find out I have cancer. I don't know. And so what James is saying, listen, the acknowledgement that life is fragile and that this life is fleeting as we pass through it on the journey to eternity, something better than anything we can ever imagine. Once you acknowledge that perspective, don't give up and don't stop and don't just sit there and wait to die. Remember, what did he say? He says, if there's something good to do and you've been called to do it, right? Do it. Don't do it because you don't have, you know, because don't not do it because, well, you know what? The Bible says my life is a mess. I'm not even going to do anything. How many of you have known people who've been dying for the last 40 years? And you just want to say, die already. I think I'm sick. Well, you know, well, fall over for the rest of us will know that you're in need. Right? What's the perspective? Here's my perspective. My life could be over tomorrow, but it could also last a very long time. And it's not my business to know when and where in the providence of my good heavenly Father when I will be promoted into eternity. It's not my job. It's like retirement. I've got 5 more years to retirement. Really? Why don't you go ahead and do us a benefit and do it now? Really? Retirement? Really? Are you serious? I mean you realize what a recent idea retirement is? Retirement? No, I don't want to retire. Listen, why would you spend your life going to college, going to whatever you did to prepare, all the stuff you've been through, all the experiences, the companies you've started, the things you've merged, the ideas you've done, the books you've written, the manuals, the classes you've taught, and then go to Florida and wait to die? I mean, seriously, do we really have that much brain power in America that we can afford to just shuffle off everyone over 55? Because we want to make room for the young people. That's what's the problem with the world today is young people. Can you hear an amen? It's the young people. All the old hippies say, you bet that man, that's for sure. Perspective. I want to be fully present because, you know what? I don't know how long my life is going to be, but I know that I'm going to leave this life. I'm going to leave something behind. If it's 30 years or 30 minutes or 30 days, I'm going to live. I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to be engaged. Here's the second thing you need is patience. Patience. Paul and I were going up to Kentucky this week, and we were going up I-65, and I looked in the rearview mirror, and I saw this little blue blob, this little blur. And I looked, and I said, man, that thing. And it came by, whew, right by me going up 65. I said, what was that? I know it had 4 wheels, and part of it was blue because I could see the trailing dust in it. I thought, man, this guy's in a... No hair on this story. I'm telling the truth. About 10 miles up the road, guess where Mr. Blue Boy was? He was getting an engraved invitation in the state of Kentucky for an appearance in Warren County for going in excess of 100 miles an hour. Thank you, Lord. You know what I did? I went... We come back later that night. We're coming into Nashville. Just come into Sumner County. Coming by me, this bit, it looked like a moving tobacco barn. If you're not from Kentucky, you know what that is. That's big. Big and gray and boxy. You know what it was? A Hummer. I mean, a tripped out Hummer, baby. The big wheels, the tires, the stuff and everything. Whoa! Whole ground. I said, man, the guy must be in a... 10 miles down the road. No hair on his story. Telling the truth. Paul is my witness. There's Hummer Boy on the side of the road. Getting a ticket from the state of Tennessee. An engraved invitation to appear in Sumner County. You know what I'm doing? I'm in my little Honda going. Guess what? I got to where I was going before both of them. Praise Jesus. Patience. It takes patience to be where you are in the moment. to go the right speed, not too fast, not too slow, but seek first the kingdom of God, Jesus said, and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough, what? Trouble of its own. Here is a beautiful way of looking at it. Jesus says, here's the eternal perspective from the kingdom of God, that God is about this mass movement of redeeming his creation and making something beautiful of it. And we're caught up into that and we're living in it every day. And it's all moving to this crescendo, this celebration where God's people and God will one day bring us into that experience, into that environment called heaven, that reality where everything on earth will be so much better that what the best of what we know today will pale in comparison. Will there be golf in earth? Yes, heaven, yes, there will be golf in heaven. I'm not for it, but God didn't ask me. Will there be chocolate in heaven? Yes. Will there'll be great. I mean, heaven will be, I mean, you think this is good. This is nothing compared to that. Whew. I was raised on bologna. And you laugh, but it will keep you alive. But I had a $155 steak one time that someone else bought. Thank you, Jesus. I'm a boy from Barron County, and I don't eat butt-rubbed steaks. I can tell you guys are not, refined. Because when I say butt-rubbed steak, you're going, are you making that up? No, 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 no. There is such a thing as Japanese butt-rubbed steak. The Japanese rub the butt of the cow before they kill it. That's what they tell me. Now, there must be lying, but I'm telling you what they tell me. I'm thinking, $155 butt rub steak? I don't think so. Until I ate it. Oh, my Lord. No knife, just, you ever had a steak like that? And you think, bologna, butt rub steak? No, I think I'll just take this. You know what I'm saying? I mean, what you know is the best there is until you know something superior, isn't it? And that's what God is saying. Listen, be patient, be patient, be patient. I know that the day has all kind of trouble in it, and I'm going to be with you in that, and we're going to make it through it. But here's the deal. If you postpone joy until you get out of the in-between, you will die miserable. You're going to have to learn how to rejoice in the day, to celebrate when it all goes right, and to be patient and persistent when it all goes wrong. Amen? I mean, wouldn't it be great if God told us it was going to be this way? And in fact, he has, hasn't he? How many times have we said, you know, why did God take them? God didn't take them, dude. It was a truck. A big truck. You stand in front of a big truck and you can't blame God. God took him. No. Why did God take my children? God didn't take your children. Cancer did. Life does. Life is this way. Does God tell us it's going to be this way? Say yes. Yes, of course he does. And does he say, all right, just tough, I'm sorry. No, no, no. He says, I'm going to be with you and I'm going to walk through. It's going to be a daily walking. I'm going to be with you in this journey. I will never forsake you. I will never leave you. I will never leave the widows fatherless. Ever, ever, ever. I want to be with you through it and I'm going to take you around it. We ask God, take it away, take it away, take it away. And why shouldn't we? But when he, in his wisdom and in his love, says, no, we're going to go through it. We're going to go through the death of that son. We're going to go through the divorce. We're going to go through this. And I'm going to be with you in this. And this is my way of helping you work out the good things I've put in you. And this is helping you get perspective. And it's helping you be patient. Here's the third thing you need to be fully present. And that is this idea of pacing. You need to learn how to pace yourself. Now listen, one of the greatest things in the whole world I learn as a husband is I cannot keep up with my wife. Why don't people tell you this stuff? I think it's way too easy in America to get married. What do you think? I think people ought to have to take a test. You have to take a test to drive a big metal cylinder with rubber tires 65 miles down the road. But what do you got to do to get married? Show up!
I just love her to death. I think I'll take her.
You are a dummy for marrying Bubba. Why you want to marry a guy this stupid?
Because just love him. He's just so sweet.
Sweet? Get some candy. Why didn't somebody tell me that being married is hard? Because of all the dumb assumptions you rake into it. Mine was, you know what? Paula can sleep. Paula sleeps, 2 to 3 hours a night. Really? For years, I thought she was lying. You're lying to me. You know how I could never catch her? Because I could never stay up. I thought it was a competition, but one day I woke up and realized, you know what? I am never going to be able to keep up with this woman, and it is not a competition. I need 8 hours of sleep. Anybody here need 8 hours of sleep? I just do. In the day I woke up and realized, you know what? It's not a moral deficiency. It's not something for which I deserve a prison sentence. I just need sleep. Now, when I get up, let's go. But when I'm done, let's go to bed. Now, here's the deal. Can I stay up with her? Of course I can. I'm a man. Duh. No, truthfully, I can't. But can I function on less than 8 hours of sleep? Yep, I can. I've done it a lot of times. So have you. But I cannot be fully healthy emotionally or spiritually if I try to live my life at a pace that is something that is not in keeping and in balance and in alignment with how God made me. Amen? Amen? And He made us different. So stop trying to be who you are not. If you need to go home and take a nap, most spiritual things some of you could do is go home, go to bed. I'm just saying. Well, you took it the wrong way. Well, you know what that too. Pacing. 6 days. God says 6 days. Lay here, go for 6 days. But one day is sacred and holy. Right? It's called the Sabbath. And from a religious perspective, all the way in the Old Testament, God put some pretty severe hedges around that idea. 6 and 1, 6 and 1, 6 and 1. Sacred rhythm, sacred pacing. Then we come to the New Testament, and Jesus just blows it all out of the water. Remember that? When they opposed Jesus because the disciples were gathering food on the Sabbath day. And what did Jesus just blew it out of the water. He said, the Sabbath is not for God. Trust me, the Father was not tired. The Sabbath is for you. That's right. It's for you. It's a gift from God. Every 7 days, you shut her down. You open your heart up to God. You recover. You relax. You recharge your batteries. And if you are constantly going, 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 of course there's no joy in your life. You're angry. You're mad. You say, "What? Well, you know what? Enjoying life is not that big a deal." It really is a big deal. Because the deal is this, if there's no joy in your life, if there's no joy in this moment, there will be anger and there will be cynicism. And ultimately, if you harbor anger and cynicism and bitterness and rage, you will act it out. Thank you. And we will look at your behavior and say, how in the world did they ever get there? Do you think that Coach Pitino got to that night in that restroom, that night in that restaurant? Not in a million years. It is a journey, is it not? That can culminate in an act. Perspective, patience, pacing. You need a plan. I love this out of Proverbs. The prudent see danger and take refuge. But the simple keep going and what?
There's a hole in the floor.
I'm in a hole in the floor. Did you see the hole? Yeah, I sure did. It was just there. Thought I'd see how deep it was. Really? I mean, that's dumb, isn't it? I'm sure you've never done anything that dumb, have you? Have you ever looked at something you've done and said, I cannot believe I did that? And if I wasn't there to see me do it, I wouldn't have believed it. I am not that dumb. You know what you need? You need a plan. You need a plan. You need to work a plan. And what it'll do, it'll keep you out of the wrong places and the wrong spaces and from around the wrong people. You need a plan. What is your plan? Where are you going to go? What are you going to do? What are your goals? What are your dreams? What are you written down? And here's the deal. For example, you had to write a book. Here's how you write a book. You get a great idea. You divide it by 12. It's called an outline. You take each 12 and you divide them by whatever else you need to divide them by. And you have a big old outline. Are you with me? And then you send it off to somebody and pray to God they will buy it and pay you money to fill it out. And they buy it and send you some money, and you sit down. And what do? After you get that big old outline and you get your money and you get ready to write a book, what do? You go over here at the very first, and you go. You say, man, look at God, there's chapter 12. Well, that Lord, I can't even see it. It's so far down there. And then you write, and you write, and you write, and you write. And what keeps you sitting in front of a computer to write a song or a poem or to paint a picture or to get an education or to teach a class or to be a great father? What keeps you from doing, from spelling out the sentences and the words and the paragraphs and the pages and the chapters? It's a plan. Because you know, if you continue to work the plan long enough, if you will show up every day and do the right thing, you will eventually get to chapter 12. And they will print it. And they will publish it. And you will get an email one day like I did Friday from New Zealand. It says, we have just read A Renegade's Guide to God. Are you a real person or not? And they'll tell you how it's changed their lives. And you will sit in a moment, read an email from New Zealand, and think back years ago when you put your butt in a seat and you sat there. And you sat there. Are you with me? And you sat there. And you sat there. And you did it every day. And you published it. And you said, will anybody ever read it? That's how life is lived. That's how you do what it is you were called here to do. And here's the last one, persistence. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest. You know the most important word in that scripture? The proper time. Do you know what the proper time is? Well, for me, it's right now. Right? Today. When is the proper time to lose weight? Now. I want the goal. I want the 20 pounds gone. Oh, Lord, 20 pounds right here. I know you can do it, Jesus. Right? God knows the proper time. But here's the deal. The proper time will never come unless you are engaged in the proper moment. And what's the proper moment? Now. Say it with me. This is the day the Lord has made. Say it with me. This is the day the Lord has made. Say it with me. This is the day the Lord has made. I will do what? Rejoice and be glad in it. Say it one more time. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Father, I ask you in Jesus' name to capture us in this moment with your love, to capture us with your imagination, to capture us with your ideas, with your thoughts, with your plans for us that are greater than anything we can ever dream or imagine, and help us to, in this moment, embrace you and embrace this day, to embrace this experience, no matter how hard it is, and give us a vision of how it's going to be and how it's going to be achieved. Give us a hope into the future that is so much greater than anything we dare imagine. It would put us to work in the moment. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day. Go get them.